What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Fireside Giants. I'm your host, Anthony Rivardo, joined by my co-host, Alex Wilson. And the NFL draft, again, still just right around the corner, 15 days away at the moment that we are recording this. And what are the Giants going to do? Are they going wide receiver in the first round, quarterback in the first round? Can they manage to land both an elite wide receiver and a quarterback prospect in this upcoming draft class? Well, that's what we want to talk about in this episode, one way that the Giants could potentially address both of those positions of need through the draft in the first and the second round, but maybe not the way that you would think. We've talked a lot about the Giants getting a quarterback in the first round and taking advantage of how deep this wide receiver class is, maybe going after a Xavier Leggett or a Jalen Polk, one of these exciting wide receiver prospects in round two. Today, we want to talk about the opposite. What if the Giants go Malik Nabers, round one, then take a quarterback in round two, just like ESPN's Mel Kiper had them doing in his mock draft that he published this morning? Very interesting read that had the Giants trading up in the second round to take Oregon quarterback Bo Nix. We want to go ahead and react to that specific mock draft and kind of just talk about the possibility of the Giants going quarterback in the second round as opposed to the first and what that would mean for this team. So that's what we're going to dive into in this episode. But before we do so, make sure to leave a like if you enjoy this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode. Comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. And go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? And what is your thoughts on the Giants potentially going receiver in round one and then maybe trading up for a quarterback at the top of round two?
I'm doing pretty good, and yeah, guys, I mean, look, the Giants are totally smoke screening us right now. If you listened to our live stream yesterday, that was the topic of discussion. And look, right now you're looking at kind of this dynamic. The Giants have pushed out a couple different narratives, and, you know, Anthony and I were just talking about this. You hear three different beat reporters talking about the Giants' interest in three different quarterbacks, right? You have Jordan Rodon saying Jaden Daniels. You have Connor Hughes saying J.J. McCarthy. And I forget whoever the other one was. Was it Ralph Occhiano saying Drake May? I think he was one of them. So, you know, you hear all these different smoke screens, all these different variables and opinions and insight and information, and you ask yourself, who the hell's right? Well, I tend to look at the guy who has the best track record last year, especially with this regimen. Last year, Jordan Rodon did point out Deonte Banks as a guy that the Giants really like. So it's safe to say I think they do really like Jaden Daniels. But again, like, I think Joe Shane, again, I'd love that to be the case, but, you know, Joe Shane has done a masterful job operating through the draft. Back in the day when Dave Gettleman was here, we kind of knew who they were picking. Now it's like, I have no freaking clue. Could the Giants end up taking a Malik Nabers at six and then waiting until the second round to move up and get a quarterback like a Bo Nix? I think they'd probably prefer a Michael Penix, but at this point, Michael Penix's stock has risen so much. A lot of people think he's going to be a mid-first-round pick. I don't think he's worth that personally. I think this is a quintessential Will Levi situation, a Will Levis situation, where last year they were mocking him fourth overall to the Colts, and he ends up dropping to 33rd overall. I think Michael Penix's stock has improved to a mid-second-round pick to probably a late first-round pick. That's kind of where I view him right now. My over-under for him is I would be blown away if he was picked before pick 20. Blown away. Bo Nix, blown away if he was picked in the first round at all. Some people disagree with me. That's totally fine. You have your different opinions. Look, Michael Penix is a 24-year-old rookie. Bo Nix is a 24-year-old rookie. And they're both far less, talented. Maybe not talented, but I would say there's a lot more red flags for them than a guy like Jaden Daniels, who's also going to be 24 as a rookie. So Jaden Daniels doesn't have that injury history. Took a massive step forward last season. Michael Penix obviously was tremendous, elite in his own regard, but two ACL tears, couple shoulder injuries, AC joint stuff. Mobility is a question mark. Didn't do a lot of running at the collegiate level. Can he hold up against NFL pass rush? There's a lot of questions there. But in this scenario, the Giants end up taking a blue chip receiver, and they end up trading up for Bo Nix in the second round. So let's talk about that. Am I going to be upset if the Giants walk away with Malik Nabers, the Yak King? Absolutely not. The guy's a monster. You give him the ball and you let him do the dirty work for you because he's going to make plays. He's a 20-year-old guy. He has the tangible qualities of a superstar, and he's 20 years old. He's going to be a 21-year-old rookie. You don't stumble upon blue chip prospects like this very often. It's rare, to be quite frank. So if the Giants end up with Malik Nabers, I'm going to be ecstatic about it. We haven't had a playmaker like this since OBJ in the receiving game specifically. So I'm going to be excited. Now, difference is we don't have Eli Manning. And Eli Manning and OBJ, that connection was special. You saw OBJ, the injuries, the inconsistencies. You know, even with Lamar Jackson, he really couldn't get much going. Eli Manning focused on him, and he, you know, Eli was Eli. He maximized WR1s his entire career. every single time he got a top receiver, that receiver ended up becoming one of the best in the game. Plaxico Burress, Hakeem Nicks, OBJ, Victor Cruz, the list goes on, you know? Daniel Jones, I don't have as much faith in accomplishing that because he's not Eli Manning. Now, some people think, well, Eli Manning wasn't great until he got his guys and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know, you can't compare. Eli's arm talent is, you know, was elite at the time. You know, he had tremendous touch on his passes, tremendous field vision, elite processing. Daniel Jones has none of those things. He doesn't have an elite arm or elite processing. He doesn't have that touch on those passes that Eli Manning did. You just can't compare. It's apples to oranges. I'd rather take the quarterback and then get the receiver later because it's the more important position. But Bo Nix is an interesting prospect here. Some people really like Bo Nix. And, you know, Anthony, you've had some positive things to say about him in the past. I'm curious to get your opinion on him. But looking at his, I'll just give you some information in terms of his depth of passing last year, where he really maximized his skill set. Last year, when it came to 20-plus yards downfield, he had a 51 completion percentage, which is really freaking good. He had 1,000 yards, 13 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. In the medium range of the field, 10 to 19 yards from the line of scrimmage, 1,169 yards, 16 touchdowns, and 1 interception with a 1.1% turnover-worthy play percentage. He was elite in that regard, like really freaking good. Throwing to the middle of the field, he was also tremendous. 730 yards, 12 touchdowns, and 1 interception in the intermediate range. And he had, when he was throwing deep center, 7 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. He was tremendous. Now, again, college football is a little bit different. His receivers were open. His offensive line was good. You're not going to have that much comfort at the NFL level, but a lot of times people will look to the center of the field as where NFL, as where, you know, collegiate quarterbacks, if they dominate there, sometimes that does translate to the NFL level. He tends to dominate there. So, you know, I'll get your take on it. What do you think about Bo Nix in the second round, moving up, getting him? Do you think that he has the tangible skill set and the intangibles to be an NFL starter in the future?
To be an NFL starter in the future, yes. I do think that Bo Nix at some point in his NFL career will be a starting quarterback. Whether that's early on, whether that takes him a few years to get to that point, at some point, he'll be a starter in my opinion. But will he be a top 5 to 10 to 15 quarterback in the NFL is the question mark. How high is this kid's ceiling? You know, because it took him this long to really break out and become the quarterback that he was this past season for Oregon. You're talking about 5 seasons in college football, 3 with Auburn, 2 with Oregon. It took him a while before that breakout. Now, yes, like you mentioned, this past season, he was dominant. He threw for 4,508 yards, 45 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions. If you look at that stat line and you take it with zero context, you would think he'd be the number one overall pick because that stat line is that ridiculous. But when you look at the context of it, you watch him play, you see how he performed at the Senior Bowl, which is definitely a big talking point that I want to get into, and you really just take a look at some of the film, you realize Bo Nix, he doesn't have the ceiling that these other quarterbacks have. He's not in the conversation with the other quarterbacks because he doesn't have that ceiling. He doesn't have those tools and those traits that those other guys do. He's got a good NFL arm. He's got an arm to win and throw the ball in the NFL. I know that's been a criticism in the past. I think that he's proven he actually does have a pretty solid arm. But it's not Caleb Williams' arm. It's not Drake May's arm. It's not even Michael Penix's arm, right? It's just a very good arm. He's a good processor, but he wasn't asked to process a whole lot, right? All throughout his collegiate career, the 5 years that he was in college, was Bo Nix going from read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? No, he was running these college system, not very pro-ready, RPO-heavy offenses. And those are some of the knocks that you'll hear on Bo Nix. Can he really step into the NFL and immediately be a success because he hasn't really done all the things that he's going to be asked to do at the NFL level? He threw to a lot of very speedy receivers on screens and RPOs, quick slants out in space on these really wide spread out offensive schemes. That's not what he's going to be doing in the NFL. Very West Coast, but also spread offense. You're not going to see that at the next level. So Bo Nix, my take on him, I think that he is a good quarterback, and again, he will be a starter at some point in his career, but he's not going to be a guy that steps in and revitalizes your franchise. He's not someone that takes over and turns you into dynasty or changes the course of your franchise and takes you from losing seasons into winning seasons. I don't know if Bo Nix is going to do that for you, but if he can give you a little bit of stability and at least give you some adequate quarterback play, if you pair that with some other really good players, maybe the floor is really high for Bo Nix, right? Maybe he could be a good quality starting quarterback for an NFL team that has a lot of talent loaded around him like he had at Oregon. So if the Giants do go Malik Nabers in round one, I think the Bo Nix could do a pretty good job of getting the ball in the hands of Malik Nabers, letting him make plays, and I think that this offense would improve significantly from where it was last season. But when you're going to that next level, long term, in the postseason, need the guy to make the do or die play in the fourth quarter, win you championships, is Bo Nix going to be that guy? That's the question that I'm going to have. That's the question that pretty much all scouts, analysts have about Bo Nix. Does he have that level of a ceiling? Can he make plays off script? He faced an astronomically low amount of pressure this past season at Oregon. Now, whenever he did face pressure, he played really well when facing it, but he just didn't face it all that much. Stepping into the NFL, you're going to face more pressure regardless of which team you're playing for. And if you're playing for the New York Giants, odds are you're going to face more pressure than most teams in the NFL because the New York Giants just can never seem to get their offensive line right. So if you're Bo Nix stepping into the league and you get drafted to the Giants, you have to be happy about the fact that you would have Malik Nabers alongside you in this situation. But you definitely have to be scared about the fact that Bo Nix, not necessarily a player that you trust to play consistently under pressure, is going into a situation where there has been a lot of pressure on the quarterback in recent years. And the other red flag for Bo Nix is the Senior Bowl. He went there, and a lot of scouts and analysts thought that that would be his time to shine, really improve his draft stock. That didn't happen. In fact, the opposite happened. The Senior Bowl is a really good time for scouts to take a look at these prospects versus top-level talent because it's really all of the best senior prospects in this draft class going off against each other. And Bo Nix did not necessarily rise to that occasion. Didn't look like the best quarterback there. Michael Penix looked like the best quarterback there. And in fact, Spencer Rattler won Senior Bowl MVP throughout the practice week, looked better than Bo Nix on some of those days. So what does that say for Bo Nix and his ability to rise to competition, face the adversity, and appeal to the masses while faced off against his peers? That was the big question mark with his Senior Bowl performance. And then he went to the combine, and it also wasn't exactly the best performance. So the pre-draft process hasn't been very pretty for Bo Nix. Everything in the collegiate season in 2023, he looked like a dominant force, looked like he should be a first-round pick. But everything since then has kind of hurt his draft stock, and that's why he's going to be probably available in the second round, and the Giants will have an opportunity to sit here and ask themselves, if we pair this young quarterback with Malik Nabers, can we win more games in 2024 than we did in 2023? And ultimately, you'd probably say yes, because any quarterback is going to succeed greater this season than they did last season for the Giants when you're throwing to Malik Nabers. So Bo Nix, I wouldn't hate the idea personally. It's not my preference, though. You guys know my preference. I would love to see the Giants trade up in the first round for a quarterback as opposed to the second round, because I want to see that big swing. Go try and find that quarterback with the ceiling to be a top 5 to 10 player in the NFL. I don't envision that for Bo Nix. I don't think most people do. So in the second round, trading up for a guy that's probably just going to be an above average quarterback, I think that you can do better than that if you're the New York Giants. So while I wouldn't be totally upset about it, I wouldn't be totally thrilled about it. In Mel Kiper's mock draft, the mock trade that he had, the Giants sent a future 2025 second round pick. So essentially spending 2 seconds and I think a third round pick as well on Bo Nix for the New York Giants. That's a pretty steep price, but again, you are talking about a potential solution at the quarterback position, so it's going to be expensive, especially at the top of the second round when there's going to be a lot of teams wanting to trade up. But I don't know if Bo Nix is necessarily worth that price tag, if I would be willing to pay that to move up in the second round and draft him. But it depends on how dire of a situation the Giants feel like they're in. Do they feel like they absolutely need to draft a quarterback this season? And as we've discussed, because of the injury guarantee in Daniel Jones's contract, they might just feel that way, and it might prompt them to make a move on day two to get a quarterback if there are any still available. And Bo Nix seems like he's going to be the best one still available on the second day of the draft. Michael Penix Jr. likely going in the first round. And Alex, you don't really like Michael Penix Jr.'s potential in New York anyways due to his injury history. So Bo Nix, again, there's a lot to like. There's a lot to be cautious about. I think his pre-draft process not being as stellar as these other guys has really hurt his draft stock and made him a big question mark in this draft. But I do think that there are some positives here. But Alex, how would you feel about that move from the Giants in terms of they're not swinging for the fences with Bo Nix, right? They're not taking a shot at a potential top five quarterback in the NFL, right? Like most scouts and analysts and talking heads feel like all of those top three guys, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, Drake May, they have potential to be a top five quarterback in the NFL if things go right for them. Nobody talks that way about Bo Nix, but they do feel like he could be a top 15 to 20 quarterback in the NFL, a solid starter for you. Do you feel like that's even something that you would swing at, or is it just like, if we don't get a quarterback in the first round, don't even want one, it's just not worth it to you?
To me, it's not worth it. Why? The probability of hitting on a quarterback is already astronomically low, but the probability of hitting one in the first round is higher than hitting on the other ones in other rounds. Why? Because you're getting the one with the most tangible qualities, the most translate, I guess the qualities that can translate the most efficiently to the NFL. When you talk about Bo Nix, if his ceiling is 10 to 15, you're not winning a Super Bowl with that. You know what I mean? Now, if you're talking about a quarterback that has top 10, you know, you're maybe in the 1 to 7 range. Even if you're 7, if you have an elite defense, an elite this, an elite that, you still can't beat Patrick Mahomes. I mean, look at Brock Purdy. I'd say last year he was an MVP candidate, top 5 quarterback, still could not beat Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. So if you aren't going to draft a quarterback with the upside to be one of the best in the game, you are wasting your time. You're wasting draft capital. Brock Purdy was a perfect scheme fit for the 49ers. You know, he was a fighter. He's a winner. The guy just, you know, they stumbled upon gold. They had one of the worst draft busts ever in Trey Lance, and then they stumbled upon the luckiest situation they could ever have hoped for in Mr. Irrelevant in the draft. It was pure luck, you know? Good scouting, for sure, but I don't think they even thought there was a chance he would become as good as he did. So, you know, it is just a little bit lucky sometimes. The draft just sometimes is like that. And the Giants need to stick with their guts, their guns, and their experience. And that's what Joe Shane essentially said. We're going to rely on our experience. We're going to rely on our research. And we're going to believe in our gut. That's what led them to Josh Allen. They thought to themselves, well, you know what? Josh Allen may have not been the best collegiate player. He was super inaccurate. But you just have a feeling about someone who's a winner. You know what I mean? The guy is a winner. He wants to get better. He wants to improve. He's got that fire inside of him to make those big plays when it counts the most. Who in this draft class has that? You know what I mean? Who in this draft class has the ability to step up and carry a team when it matters the most? You know what I mean? Like, that's really what you have to think about sometimes. Like, the intangibles, like, when it comes down to the fourth quarter, Eli Manning had that, right? Daniel Jones does not have that. How do you know that? How can I say that? He has lost 99% of his primetime games, right? When the lights were the brightest, he lost most of his big games. He won one playoff game, right? When we went to Dallas, we got cremated every time. You know, he did not lift everybody else around him. That's kind of why I tend to believe, and I'm not saying he's not a winner, not a fighter, not a guy that works hard, because he absolutely is a fighter, and he works hard. He has a tremendous work ethic. You may not find someone with a better work ethic, but sometimes that isn't enough. Sometimes you need that raw talent that you're born with, man. Like, you really just are born with it. And I think some of these guys have that, you know what I mean? I think Drake May at 21 years old has that raw talent. I think that he has a long way to go and a lot of development, but there's no other better coach than Brian Daboll to give him. You know what I mean? Brian Daboll's the coach that you would want to mold a ball of clay like that. Jaden Daniels, dude's a winner. Shows up against the best in college football, and he dominated them. And he has that electrifying nature, and he loves the lights. He loves the bright lights. I love Jaden Daniels, but again, he had a tremendous supporting cast last year. Good offensive line play, multiple NFL caliber receivers. I'm not going to lie to you, that freaking helps a lot. Michael Penix, 3 NFL caliber receivers in McMillan, Jalen Polk, and Romo Dunze, right? And arguably the best offensive line in the game. He got some damn good support, right? He had some really good support. These teams that are drafting these players are not drafting guys into situations like that. Most of them have bottom barrel offensive lines, bottom barrel playmakers, you know? But the truth is this. Are you going to take the receiver at 6 and then figure out the quarterback later? Are you going to take the quarterback and then figure out the receiver position later? That is really the conversation. You always, and the Giants have multiple linchpin pieces. You got 2 good pass rushers, an all-pro defensive interior guy in Dexter Lawrence. You have Andrew Thomas. You just reinvested in the offensive line. You still got Darren Waller if he doesn't retire. I mean, the writing's on the wall, man. If it's between receiver and quarterback to build through right now and to build around over the next 5 years of controllable rookie contract, you take the most important position, and it's the quarterback position. So yes, to answer your question, there's no reason to spend a second round pick on a quarterback, because the probability of that guy hitting is astronomically low. It's already low enough to begin with, but every small percentage point it makes a humongous difference at the quarterback position. If you have a 5% chance of hitting on a quarterback by taking one in the first round, you have to pray to God that that 5% chance makes the difference. Because at the end of the day, in today's game, it's an offensive league now. You know, defense is great and all, but it really is who can score the most points. Back in the day, you would have grind outs, like really tough defensive matchups. The Bears, like Giants defense, Patriots defense. These guys were hammering Brady, Eli. We're talking 17, 14 championships. Now we're looking at like 26, 24, 32, 28. It really comes down to scoring points. You know what I mean? You have to have quarterbacks that can score a lot of points. So if the Giants identify a guy that believes they can do that at a high level, that 5% margin, you have to take a gamble on it, in my opinion. It's the only way in this day and age in football. It's not the day and age of football like our fathers, or even when we were kids watching this Giants team. You got to be able to score a stupendous amount of points to win Super Bowls in this day, let alone playoff games or regular season games. That has to be at the forefront of our mind. Giants offense has been one of the worst in football for years now. 5 years. 5 years straight, guys. Ever since Daniel Jones has been here, you've had one of the worst offenses in the game. Not entirely his fault. Offensive line, you know, injuries, coaching, tons of variables here. It's time to reset that entire cycle. We need to end that cycle. And that starts with resetting the quarterback position and opening up a boatload of financial freedom in the future.
All right, so what if I counterpoint to you with this in terms of taking those swings, you know, trying to get that high-powered offense that scores a lot? It's not the days of, you know, defenses winning championships. I think you make good points there. But how about this? Okay, this is within the division. A lot of draft profiles that you read about Bo Nix will compare him to Jalen Hurts, who also was drafted in the second round by the Philadelphia Eagles. Drafting him in the second round allowed them to go with wide receiver Devontae Smith in the first round and a lot of other talented defensive players in other first rounds of the draft. They've loaded up on talent, and a lot of that is because they took Jalen Hurts in round two. If you feel like Bo Nix could be Jalen Hurts for you, then is it worth it, Alex? Do you think now it's worth it to take that player? And again, that's up to the analysis of Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. If they feel like Bo Nix can be Jalen Hurts, do you think that is worth it to take him there? Maybe you don't envision that Jalen Hurts and Bo Nix is a solid comp. Maybe you don't think he can be that level of quarterback. And I think it also depends on where you stand on Jalen Hurts as a quarterback, because I think that a lot of fans would say he's top 10. Others think he's like top 20. I've heard a lot of varying opinions on Bo Nix, on Jalen Hurts, probably just because in the Giants community, he's an Eagles player, so he's always going to get dogged on a little bit more than other top quarterbacks. But if that's what you envision, right, if you could see him being Jalen Hurts for you, who's a commander of your offense, takes shots when he needs to, runs that kind of college-style offense in many ways with a lot of RPOs, and because you drafted him in the second round, you can load up on talent with an A.J. Brown, a Devontae Smith, and maybe down the road you sign a star running back and get a good offensive line in front of him. If you think he can be Jalen Hurts, then is it worth it to you, Alex? How do you feel about that comparison?
I mean, if you keep, like, look, Jalen Hurts is also a product of a very good situation, right? The Eagles, like, you get him in the second round, and the best part about that is the Eagles were already really good to a degree in a lot of respects. Offensive line, elite. Receivers, you know, they built up a sick receiver core. And also, Howie Roseman, man, like, one of the best GMs in the league. Like, and it's not even debatable. The guy just churns out tremendous drafts. Like, middle to late round offensive linemen become stars. You know, you're talking about a guy that finds insane value in terms of gathering more first round picks. They've stacked their defensive lineup over the course of several seasons and developed these players, too. It's so difficult to compare. But look, if the Giants believe that Bo Nix has that upside, you know, could become something, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I know more than Brian Daboll or Joe Shane, because I sure as hell don't, and neither does any of us. If they think that Bo Nix can be that good, I will absolutely sit here and tell you that I think it's possible they go with Bo Nix. You know what I mean? But from what I see, from what many people say, it seems unlikely, to say the least. But if they had conviction in a player that they could get Malik Nabers and get a guy that they really like in the second round that could develop into a starter, you know, maybe that is the direction they go. But the truth is, right now, I think that they've spent a lot of capital on other positions, right? They signed Daniel Jones to the big contract. And I hate, by the way, Anthony, let me just get one thing straight. I keep saying on Twitter that the Giants need to give Brian Daboll his quarterback, right? The guy that he gets to develop, that he gets to mold. And everyone, and not everyone, but people come back at me in the comments saying they already gave him his quarterback in Daniel Jones. That is the dumbest narrative that I think anyone has said to me. Brian Daboll inherited Daniel Jones. They signed Daniel Jones to a contract because they were not in a range to draft one, and the options last year were non-existent. Everyone knew that the top three quarterbacks were going off early. Everyone knew, you know, that CJ Stroud and Bryce, we were not in range to get either of those guys. You know what I mean? Like, it was not even possible. The free agency class was done. Was dead. It was done. You know, our only choice was to pray to God Daniel Jones could actually extend his future here, grow, develop, and they built the out into the contract as a last resort. Now, we didn't think that he would have the worst case scenario last year unfold, but Brian Daboll inherited a Daniel Jones with awful habits already built into his system. You know what I mean? We're talking about basically no pocket awareness, and none, zero. Over 3 years of development, he had zero pocket awareness. One of the worst turnover-prone quarterbacks in the game. You know what I mean? We're talking about at the NFL level, not the collegiate level, but the NFL level. He developed multiple bad habits that Brian Daboll had to work out of him, and he did. You know, he turned him into a competent pocket passer at times, right? Despite the fact our offensive line was horrible. And people want to argue that we shouldn't give Brian Daboll his quarterback, his guy, the guy that he can take that hasn't been exposed to bad NFL play, hasn't been exposed to bad NFL coaching or bad offensive line performance or no wide receiver talent. He can take his ball of clay and mold it at the NFL level from day one, not year four. They're not the same thing. And they're not even close. I don't even know how people can like compute that in their brains, that drafting a quarterback is the equivalent of Brian Daboll signing and Joshian signing Daniel Jones to an extension and making that Brian Daboll's guy. That's not true, in my opinion. They're so different. One guy had significant amount of problems coming with him, already at the NFL level, developing habits that were bad, had a couple of injuries already in tow. The other guy, let's say it's Drake Mayer, Jaden Daniels, is year one, day one in the NFL, has no, you know, bad tendencies learned at the NFL level, has not churned through three or four offensive coordinators, multiple head coaches. They're apples to oranges. How you could possibly compare those two things is beyond me. Maybe you have a different opinion. I don't see the difference there. I don't see the comparison.
No, I don't necessarily feel like Joe Shane selected his quarterback by paying Daniel Jones. I think that if you want to look at the one error that Joe Shane has made, it was giving Daniel Jones that contract, evidenced by this injury. It always should have been the franchise tag. You'll hear arguments that they had to do the contract so that they could afford to sign guys like Bobby Okereke, etc. There were some other players that were brought in. They probably could have just structured some contracts differently and gotten Okereke in here anyway with Daniel Jones on the franchise tag, but ultimately, Daniel Jones was like the prime franchise tag candidate, like of all time. He was always, if you really look at his NFL history, his career, there were so many question marks still, even after that playoff game. You realize that you can win with him, but can you win because of him was the big question after that playoff game. Because not only the one in Minnesota where, yeah, the Giants won because of Daniel Jones. I'll agree with that. He won them that game in many ways. But how about the Eagles game? Did they win because of him? They lost. Was that because of him? Was that because of the team? There were just still more question marks, and which is why I think he was a good candidate for the franchise tag. I'm not saying one opinion or the other is right about Daniel Jones, but the franchise tag was something that I advocated for, and I think you remember this, Alex, pretty heavily during that offseason last year. I said franchise tag him, just please tag him and work out something with Barkley if you have to, or let him walk at that point, which ended up happening 1 year later. So now here we are 1 year later with Daniel Jones under this contract, and the Giants find themselves in the trickiest situation possible. But I don't think that because Joe Shane felt the pressure of the franchise tag deadline and got swooned into this long-term extension with Daniel Jones, does that mean he selected his quarterback? Because look at the structuring of the contract. It is a 2-year deal with a team option for two more years, which means that when Daniel Jones was offered that contract by the Giants, when the Giants signed that deal, they said, hey, you're our quarterback for the next year, maybe, and then we'll see. We're taking it on a year-by-year basis with you. That was what the team-friendly structuring of that contract meant. So the Giants have an opportunity to get out of the Daniel Jones deal as soon as possible, which is next year, very, very quickly. So it doesn't tell me that they picked their quarterback. They picked their bridge quarterback is really what that contract told me. And so now that they have their bridge, it's time to find the water at the end of the tunnel here. It's time to find the light at the end of the tunnel, the water under the bridge, whatever analogy you want to use. I totally butchered that, but they got to find their next quarterback. That's what that Daniel Jones contract really signified to me. This is your bridge, and after these 2 years, maybe Daniel Jones is a dominant quarterback, and we keep going for the next 2 years. Maybe he's not. We have an opportunity to move on with whichever quarterback we got in the meantime. Now is the meantime. We are now sitting here in the meantime, this is when the Giants have to find that quarterback and move on. But the last thing that I'll say on this topic, I want to go back to the point that I made about the Giants maybe going the Jalen Hurts route and finding a quarterback in round two. I want to bring one other comparison into that. That draft class, I believe that was the 2020 NFL draft class that Jalen Hurts was in most years, he's probably a first-round pick. But that happened to be the year that you had Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa, you had Joe Burrow up at the top of that draft. You had a lot of quarterback talent in that draft class that pushed other quarterbacks down the board, ultimately made Jalen Hurts a round two pick rather than a round one pick. In most draft classes, Bo Nix is probably a first round pick, but in this draft class, with those other four quarterbacks that scouts much prefer, he's going to go into the second round. So maybe there is an opportunity here, or maybe there is a scenario here that plays out where Bo Nix really is a round one talent that you get in round two, and maybe he does go on to have a career that's pretty similar to the one that Jalen Hurts has had. And I think that's something, not saying that I think that's going to happen, I'm not really giving my opinion here, but just more so evoking the thought in Giants fans listening, that could happen, and it's possible. So to keep an open mind on draft night, if the Giants do make that trade and they do bring in Bo Nix in the second round, they trade for him, keep in mind that when the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts, many Eagles fans were like, I don't really understand this one. I don't think that he's going to be a franchise quarterback. Well, now they've paid him millions because they believe that he 100% is a franchise quarterback. He has brought them deep into the playoffs several times over the past few years. So looking at it from that perspective, where quarterback draft classes sometimes push players down the board who are better and they end up outplaying the position in which they get drafted, maybe that's what happens with Bo Nix. Maybe it's a similar story to Jalen Hurts, where he should have been a round one quarterback, goes in round two because some of the other top talent ends up being better than some of those guys. You could argue, you could at least make the argument that Jalen Hurts is better than Tua Tagovailoa. Some fans would agree, some fans would disagree. Tua Tagovailoa had a really good season this past year. Not so well in crunch time, in the postseason and the end of the regular season. So that's where you can make the argument that Jalen Hurts is better because he's done it in the playoffs before. So I think it's a nuanced conversation. I think that there should be more of an open mind around a round two quarterback from Giants fans. And maybe, you know, maybe I wasn't at that point earlier in this episode, but the more that we've kind of gone through this discussion, Alex, I've realized there's cons to this thing. Of course, I have my preference, which is get the quarterback in round one, but there are some pros to it. You know, maybe there is a scenario that plays out where the Giants find a very quality quarterback in round two, and it very well could be Bo Nix, who, again, looking at just his stats without the context from the 2023 season, absolutely dominant season. And who's to say that that can't carry over into the NFL and he can't have successful seasons like that? He very well could, and maybe he lands in the right situation. Maybe the Giants are that situation and it happens, but I'm not so sure. All I know is if the Giants do end up with an elite wide receiver like Malik Nabers in round one, we will be celebrating. If they do end up with an elite quarterback prospect in round one, we will still be celebrating. We are going to be happy on draft night. That is the beauty of where the Giants are sitting in the NFL draft right now. And I think that's kind of like the last point that I'll make before I wrap this. The Giants picking at number six overall, this can go one of many different ways. Pretty much all of them are positive in our eyes. We really can't go wrong in the first round of this draft. Either you're getting an elite wide receiver prospect, or you're getting a quarterback for the future that you have to be excited about the potential of that. So one of two ways, if it goes like that, we're going to be happy. If they trade down and take an offensive tackle, that might be the one way that Joe Shane could upset us this year, but that's probably not likely. So you got to be happy about that, Giants fans, as we're only about 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. A lot to be excited about. Last thing, Alex, real quick one here. New alternate helmets. I wanted to just throw that in here before we wrap up. What do you think they're going to look like? You excited for that? Do you think they're going to be a new color? Do you think it's going to be a navy with a different logo? How are you feeling about the alternate helmets that might be coming?
I'm excited to see what the Giants come up with. I like kind of when teams get creative with the looks and stuff like that. You know, you see like the city jerseys for the NBA, and then the Yankees have their, you know, fun jerseys and stuff like that. Like, it should be fun. It shouldn't just be same old, boring. You know, we don't like it, we like it, we don't like it, we like it. Like, yeah, have some fun with it. That's what sports is about. It's about having fun. Yes, we talk a lot of crap. Yes, we have fun. Yes, we get emotional about it. But at the end of the day, it's supposed to be something that we enjoy and like get creative. And, you know, I think it'll probably be a navy blue though. I like the navy blue with just the Giants Giants on the side. I do like those helmets a lot. I remember like back in the day when the Giants had like the red, remember the all red jerseys that they had? Some people hated them. I loved it. Like I loved the all red for like one game a season. It was unique. It was fun. And I think it's, you know, the color rush is cool. I like the color rush jerseys. Yes, like sometimes it's blinding on television when the contrast is too up, but or some jerseys. I know like the Seahawks look like vomit because their jerseys were like that neon green. Which is ridiculous, but like the Giants ones are beautiful. You know, those jerseys are gorgeous. I really like the color rush ones. So, you know, doing more creative stuff with the jerseys, like why not? Have fun. It's sports. That's what it's supposed to be about.
How would you feel about red helmets with the red jerseys?
That would be awesome. Like, let's like, or maybe even like a blue helmet with a red jersey would be kind of cool. You know, kind of like old school jerseys, but with the with those like modern like new helmets would be might be interesting. You know, just have some fun with the color. I like a lot of color though. Like, you know, sometimes in New York, a lot of people are just like kind of bland colors, like black, you know, white, whatever it might be. I like the Jets jerseys a lot. What they did last year, their color rush jerseys are really cool with the black and the black and green. They did some really cool stuff with those jerseys. Like, make them look kind of badass, too. You can make them look, like, kind of Gotham-esque in a way. You know what I mean? Like, have some more, like, darker concepts with those, like, you know, vibrant colors. Maybe, like, a black and blue, like, a darker blue, like, a navy blue and, like, a black would be kind of cool. I think I've seen some mock-ups of that on social media. But you can have some fun with it and, like, make them look really badass instead of looking like vomit on television.
My hot take is that I actually don't like the Giants' navy helmet, the classic 1980s helmet that they wear with the legacy uniforms. When they had the Color Rush jerseys a few years ago, and it was the normal Giants blue but with the white Giants logo and the white face mask, that is my ideal New York Giants helmet. They should have that forever. The white face mask makes that Giants logo pop so well, especially with the metallic blue rather than the navy. That should be the Giants' permanent helmet, in my opinion. When that was paired with the Color Rush, I thought it was perfect. If they pair that with the classic uniforms rather than doing the navy, that should be the full-time uniform. That's my hot take. I think that the Giants are probably just going to go with another navy helmet, maybe putting the current logo on the navy. I'm not so sure. I think that there's the rule in the NFL where you can only have two colored helmets. So they can have the royal blue and the navy, and then you can have different logo variations on those helmets. So you can have, like, three different helmets, but only two colors, essentially. So I think that's probably what the Giants are going to do, go navy. But who knows? Maybe they switch it up. Maybe they end up with a red helmet, and that might be cool. Maybe it's a white helmet. That might also be cool. I'm excited. Let us know down below what you want to see from the Giants' alternate helmet. Also, let us know your thoughts on the potential of taking Bo Nix or any other quarterback in the second round and drafting a wide receiver in the first round. Pretty good discussion in this episode. We unpacked a lot. And again, 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, getting really excited. Can't wait. Going to be live streaming, live reacting to every pick right here on the channel. So stay tuned to Fireside Giants for all of your New York Giants content. But that pretty much wraps this one up. Make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. And go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one. And let's go Giants.